This will be our final week on spiritual gifts. I don't know what you do when it's time to fix your car or fix something around the house. Or maybe you need to mend something, do some sort of sewing repair. Or maybe you're just getting into gardening or axe throwing or whatever it might be that you are getting into during this time of being at home more and more often. I don't know where you go to learn. Maybe some of you go to a class, and maybe right now that's an online class. Maybe you go and buy a manual, or you buy a book and read about the new thing that you want to learn. Or maybe like me, you go to YouTube to learn how to do absolutely everything and anything that you ever wanted to learn about, because someone out there probably made a video about it. So you go out and you do those things, and you learned something new. You learned a skill. And when you're around your, you know, maybe you learned how to fix something in your house, and you're at your friend's house, and you know that his is broken, and you're like, hey, I could help you with that. I know how to fix that. When it comes to spiritual gifts, they are not something that we can go on YouTube to learn. They're nothing that we can get out of a manual or a book. Spiritual gifts, well, it's in the name, right? They are gifts given to us by God. They're not about anything that we did or anything that we earned or anything that we could do. The truth is, we are powerless when it comes to changing ourselves. We're powerless to change ourselves, and we are powerless to line ourselves up with anything kingdom-related. We can't make the move on our own because of sin. We are separated from God, and anything that is of God, we can't just go and grab a hold of it on our own, learn a new skill and go and do it. It has to be something that is given to us from God. Where does it start? It starts with confession. It starts with realizing that our ideas, our picture of what justice is all about, our picture of what love is about, our picture of what salvation is all about, is messed up if it's only our picture. Has to be from God. It's the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. So we start with confession. We confess that we need Jesus in order to change and to heal. We need Jesus. And with Jesus, Jesus said that he would send an advocate. He would send the Holy Spirit. And we must daily rely on the Holy Spirit in our lives. So as we're talking about spiritual gifts, we have to realize that these gifts are from God. They are given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and do these things that we are called to do. These gifts that we have been given to use for God's glory in His kingdom. These are from God. They're not from us. They're not something that we can acquire on our own. They are from God. So, with all of that in mind, I'm going to read a few different passages here. The first one I'm going to read is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, and verse 28. We did read these a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about spiritual gifts then. So here, before we start, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation and your son Jesus are found within the pages of this awesome and holy book. Lord, we know and trust that the authors of this book wrote down your word and your thoughts and your ways, and that it has stood the test of time for over 2,000 years, so that millions and millions have come to know you and to trust you. Lord, we thank you for this great gift that we've been given. And we say it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And now for 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. There are also some other passages that have spiritual gifts mentioned in them. The next one we're going to turn to is Romans chapter 12, and this is verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then the last one that I want to bring you to is from Ephesians chapter 4. And this is verses 11 through 13. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Speaking of God, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. A few key points that I want to point out before I start talking about some of these individual spiritual gifts. Together, as brothers and sisters, all of us who consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, we are all part of the body of Christ, and each one of us is necessary. There's no casual observers. If you're in the body of Christ, you are necessary and you have a purpose. And that purpose is to build each other up in the body of Christ so that we go out and do what we are called to do, to spread the good news of Jesus to all nations, letting them know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and baptizing them along the way. That's what we are called to do. And we build each other up in the body to do that. Our spiritual gifts are the way that we do that together. So all of you are vital. And I will also contend that all of you are gifted. The Holy Spirit didn't rain down a bunch of gifts on a few of us and let everybody else off the hook. everyone has been given spiritual gifts to use for edifying the body of Christ. Everybody has a part to play. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, nor can the hand say to the eye, I don't need you. We all need each other. We've all been given gifts that we don't need ourselves, but that somebody else here in the room needs. That's kind of a neat way of thinking about it, right? You've been given a gift, not just for your own edification. You've been given a gift because somebody else here in the room needs what you have to offer. I think that's a really neat picture of what it means to have spiritual gifts. Now, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the more controversial spiritual gifts, and you heard them again here in these readings. They're intermixed with the ones that are not argued about. If you want to hear more about those, check out that sermon on video, either on Facebook, on YouTube. It's also, the audio version is also on our website, and if you need a CD, we can get that for you too. So if you want to hear more about the more controversial spiritual gifts, that was 2 weeks ago. I'm just going to skip past them today because we already talked about them. But today, we're going to talk about the undisputed gifts. And for this sermon, I'm sure we could have a whole sermon on each one of the spiritual gifts. And maybe we could even do a 4-week series on each one of them. I'm sure there's more information than I could ever bring you about all of these. So today, I thought it would be good just to do a quick, fast overview, just to give you an idea of what some of these different spiritual gifts are. And of course, with anything, dive into your Bibles. If there's a particular gift that you are interested in, and are maybe praying about for your own life, investigate it in Scripture. And then look into good sources that tell you more about some of these particular gifts. This is just an intro, a quick overview. So if you want to learn more, there are ways that you can go about doing that. One of them mentioned is wisdom. This is the gift that allows the believer to sort through opinions, facts, and thoughts in order to determine what solution would be best for an individual believer or a community of believers. I know that some of our elders have this gift. Knowledge, the gift that drives a person to learn new insights with regard to the Bible and faith. We have people that are constantly diving into the Word, and they want to learn more and more and more. They might have the gift of knowledge. Or how about the gift of faith? This is the gift that gives a believer the eyes to see the Spirit at work and the ability to trust the Spirit's leading without indication of where it might lead. I'll give you an example on this one. I have a friend, he is a pastor, and he had this picture. He felt strongly that he needed to go to Rochester, Minnesota, and when he got there, he needed to start off this ministry called The Exchange. And the big idea for him was that he has spiritual matters to offer people who are in great need, but he also recognized that those people also had things to offer. And he wanted to make a place where people could exchange their skills, talents, and gifts with each other. And his great hope was that this would build up a body of Christ. And he's got faith because he started with knowing nothing and knowing very few people. And things keep falling into place, and he keeps having faith. He was telling me when he first got started how he was dreaming about a building. And I'm like, you don't even have any money, for a building. How is this going to go? And he's like, oh, I know, we're supposed to have a building. Guess what? They got a building. And it's right across the street from an apartment complex where there are so many needs. And he's able to meet those needs, but he's also able to lift them up and to show them that they have a lot to offer too. And the ministry keeps growing. He's got faith in things that seem like there are things that seem like you can't even accomplish. But he's got faith that God will make it happen. That's the way of God, right? Some people have the gift of administration. This is the gift that enables a believer to formulate, direct, and carry out plans necessary to fulfill a purpose. The Holy Spirit can work through random coincidences, but the Holy Spirit can also work through well-thought-out and prayed-for plans. The Spirit can work both ways. And some people have that gift of administration. The gift of helping or serving. Well, we see this at work all the time. Down at our local food pantry. See many, many people serving down there. We see people serving at St. Ben's. We walk into our hospitals and see volunteers. People serving. There are people that serve in different ministries here at the church. Property, taking care of this building. We have people that are working on quilts in our AIM ministry. And the list can go on and on and on. The gift of exhortation. This is a gift that moves believers to reach out with Christian love and presence to people in conflict. When there's hurting people, there are people with gifts that are ready to go in and help. There's the gift of giving. We're all called to be givers, but there are some that have been given the gift of giving, and they are able to recognize God's blessings and respond to those blessings in very generous ways and very sacrificial ways. There's the gift of leadership, the gift that gives a believer the confidence to step forward, give direction, and provide motivation for the church. There are gifts of mercy. And this is a gift that motivates a believer to feel deeply for those in physical, spiritual, or emotional need, and then act to meet those needs. There are evangelists. This is the person that you walk along with, and they're wherever they go, they're randomly talking with people and sharing Jesus with them. They might have the gift of evangelism. We're all called to spread the good news of Jesus, but there are some that are especially gifted by the Spirit for it. There's the gift of being a pastor. This is a gift that gives the believer the confidence, capability, and compassion to provide spiritual leadership and direction. I don't consider this a career for me. I feel like it's a calling. And I feel like it's a spot where I've been gifted for as long as God gives me that gift. Could there be a time in the future when I'm not gifted to be a pastor? That could very well be the case. And at that point, if it felt like a career and not a calling, if I was being true to the Lord, I would need to step down and go do something else. It's a gift. The other one that's on here, teacher. And this is the gift that enables a believer to communicate a personal understanding of the Bible and faith in such a way that it becomes clear and understood by others. Now, there are some other gifts that we could talk about too. In other places in the Bible, we could talk about the gift of hospitality, people that are especially welcoming. We could talk about people that with the gift of intercession, that those are our prayer warriors. We could go to the Old Testament and we could look at some of the gifts of craftsmanship and artistry that are like the people that helped design and build the temple. We could also talk about composing and performing spiritual music. That could also be a place where we could talk about spiritual gifts. And many of the scholars that I read to are like, you know what? Others could exist too that are not specifically mentioned in the New or Old Testament. And they wonder if there could be as many gifts as there are needs in the body of Christ. And that makes a little bit of sense if you've been given what your brother and sister in Christ need. If there's a need that's not met by one of these, perhaps that's something that God would bring forth in one of you, so you could meet that need in the other. Why am I bringing all of this up? Why am I talking about spiritual gifts? I think it's important for us to recognize that we all have a purpose in the body of Christ. None of us takes a back seat. None of us is a mere spectator. We are all given gifts to use for others in the body of Christ. So I'm going to leave you with four things to think about or to consider when it comes to spiritual gifts. Number one, and this is probably true for most of us, you are probably already using your spiritual gifts without recognizing it or realizing it. You're probably already using them. You just hadn't really considered them, hadn't thought about them. You're probably already doing it. Number two, there are spiritual gift inventories. That's the word, spiritual gift inventories that you can find in books. You can also find these online. And certainly, you can go to those books. You can go online, search on Google, type in spiritual gift inventory, and you can go through a checklist of things. They might be useful for you, but at the same time, recognize that you might not be able to identify your spiritual gifts by doing a man-made inventory. But it could be something that would be edifying for you. So if you're interested, you could check out spiritual gift inventories. And if you want to know where you could go online to check that out, let me know. Number three. If you're unsure about your spiritual gifts, one way to explore them is by volunteering for all kinds of stuff and seeing what happens. You never know. You might volunteer to be a Sunday school teacher, and it could be the worst thing that you've done. And you think to yourself, I'm never going to do that again, because I am not gifted for that. But you might come into it thinking that it's going to be the worst thing ever. And you might find out that, wow, I'm able to tell people about Scripture, and they're understanding what I'm saying. And this thing's working. And you might find out you have a gift that you never knew about. Sometimes we just have to say yes when asked. Sometimes we're not asked. Sometimes there's times when there's not a specific person asking you about something or another, and you need to take the initiative. You see something in the bulletin, you might just have to say, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. Number four, we can pray about them. We are called to seek them. So we can pray about spiritual gifts and ask the Lord about them. We are gospel people. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are called to do His will, and we are to lift one another up. You've got stuff that somebody else needs. Don't just sit on it, but go and do not on your own, because we know that that's not how it works. Empowered by the Spirit, go and do. Use the gifts that you've been given so that we are built up and continue to be a place where we spread the good news about Jesus. So that when people see us, they see our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. And they our great hope, they come to know the good news for themselves. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we lift up all of those who are hurting, who are sick, who are desperate, who are hopeless, all of those people who are in all kinds of different kinds of pain. Lord, we pray that they don't try to find hope in alcohol or drugs or find hope in attention or find hope in sex or find hope in likes on Facebook or find hope in any other way but through your Son Jesus. Lord, we know that there is incredible healing through medication and through surgeries and through treatment centers and all of those kinds of things. But we know that ultimately when it comes to life, our great hope and our great healing comes from your Son. So we ask that you consider our neighbors. You consider our friends. You consider our family members. You consider our co-workers. You consider our towns, our state, and our nation. And that by your Holy Spirit, you rain down upon people and show them your love so that they understand your will and your ways. And Lord,